So now we're going to head back across the Pacific to a place where there actually are droughts, to the subtropics of Australia. This is quite a large project. It's the accumulation, I suppose, of a three-year trial from quite a large collaboration of myself and my colleagues, Clemens Shear and Peter Grace at Queensland University of Technology, Mike Bell at the University of Queensland at Gatton, and Dave Lester in Toowoomba. As part of the Nitrous Oxide Network, which is quite a large research network in Australia, funded through GRDC and the Australian Government. So just a bit of a brief introduction into the subtropics and the subtropical cropping systems that we have in Australia. Sorghum is becoming one of the most important summer crops in the region. Export markets are taking off. There's quite good breeding varieties there. And although the area changes year per year, that's grown typically because of weather conditions, we're looking at pushing 500,000 hectares just in that sort of northern subtropical zone, so it is quite an important area. It's heavily reliant on nitrogen fertiliser, and the native soil organic matter reserve of nitrogen has really declined over the last 30 to 40 years of cropping. So nitrogen fertiliser is now one of the major input costs to farmers in this region, accounting for up to 30% of the costs. And as you can see, yields have basically increased 60-odd percent in the last 30 years or so, and that goes step in step with basically nitrogen input. So the questions that we come across here, you know, nitrogen is a key thing. It's a key economic point of view in this system. And so for this study, we focused a lot on nitrous oxide. It was funded through a nitrous oxide research program, but it was also co-funding through the grains industry, and they really wanted to know that whatever strategies we came across were economically viable, regardless of any sort of emissions trading that went on. So first of all, do we need to apply nitrogen fertilizers in sorghum crops? Well, yes, but you know how much and how important that is that to the system. If we do, how efficiently do these crops apply this nitrogen to produce the grain yield? What are the nitrogen losses? What are the mechanisms? What are the nitrous oxide emissions, obviously? And what are strategies to both reduce nitrous oxide emissions and increase nitrogen use efficiency? And potentially, what are, you know, where are the holes in the data? So this is our study region. It's actually a little bit bigger than the circle. It goes down into the southern state of New South Wales there. We conducted a series of experiments over 3 years, from 2012 to 2015. The region itself, subtropical, summer rainfall dominated, mainly between January and March, but really big rainfall events, 100 millimetres plus in one day if possible. And so denitrification is always one of the key potential losses there. And plus we have quite warm temperatures, you know, we are in the subtropics, so our summer temperatures average 22 degrees plus. For this study, we focused on the two major cropping soils, the brown oxisol, both heavy clay soils, 50% clay, and the very typical soil of this region, which is the black self-mulching verdisol, which is up to 70% clay, so very, very high clay contents. The verdisol is probably accounts for 70% of the cropping in the region, but oxisols are also quite important worldwide, so it's a good comparison to have. Most of the urea, most of the fertilizers applied to urea, and it goes down up front. It goes down up front because the climate variability is such that they can't really afford to put it on or take the risk to put it on in season. And so getting that initial nitrogen application right, or ensuring that that nitrogen's there, is quite important to the farmers in this region. The vertisol soils are such high water holding capacity that they can actually grow a full crop, a full sorghum crop, without any in-crop rainfall. So once again, the nitrogen strategy you decide at the start makes a big difference. We use 15N nitrogen microplots to quantify nitrogen use efficiency, nitrous oxide emissions measured by automatic chambers across the multiple years. So these give us 8 fluxes a day, 365 days a year, and we had several sets working on this project. So to answer the first question, you know, how important is nitrogen? It's important in these systems. You can see we're still getting quite good crop responses to nitrogen. My agronomy colleagues were quite impressed with their nitrogen response they could see in their zero nitrogen plots there. So there is, you know, certainly clear evidence that adding nitrogen does make a good difference to yield, so that's good to know. But it also changes for soil type, so this response obviously in the more fertile vertisol soils is much stronger in the ferrosols. And we're looking at basically Y max, so maximum yields around 8 tonnes per hectare, up to 8 tonnes a hectare, and for anywhere between 70 to 160 kilograms of nitrogen, depending on that starting condition. So 70 to 100 kilograms of synthetic nitrogen added. So let's talk about losses. So as I said, we are in the subtropics. We are prone to these heavy losses, such as this small rainfall event here. You can see that's one of our chambers. That's a manual chamber from a subsequent experiment that's probably getting some denitrification happening at the moment. So these really large episodic rain events can lead to these emissions, quite large losses. However, despite even on the better drained oxisol, I should mention that there's quite a big difference in the structure between the oxisol and the vertisols. Even though they're both heavy clays, the oxisol is very well drained versus the heavy clay with the vertisol, which is not. So even though we have these big rain events, we didn't actually see that much leaching using 15N as a tracer. But we did see a lot more losses on the vertisols than on the oxisols, and yes, potentially denitrification. And over a couple of the experiments we did there, we're looking at 5 to 10% losses from the oxisols versus greater than 30% and up to 40% on the vertisols. So once again, significant nitrogen is a significant cost into the system, and these are significant losses. So how do we address these losses? Well, couple of methods we can test. So enhanced efficiency fertilisers, basically we tested a whole range of these from the two nitrification inhibitors, Entrench and Entec, or DMPP. We also tested a polymer coated urea with a 4-month release to basically see, you know, which ones of these is best at both providing reducing nitrous oxide emissions and potential yields. So this is a summary of the whole year's data, but basically you can see, yes, DMPP was the best. So the nitrification inhibitor worked well. We could get a reduction of 83%. However, there was no increase in yield. So once again, this is a premium product. It costs about 25% extra. We've got to get an increase in yield. How does that go across? So that was on the vertisol. How does it go across different sites? This is the high resolution data from the Automake chamber system. You can see, you know, quite large rain events. And this over 100 millimetres, and we're getting these really sort of typically N2O emission spikes associated with that. So in the previous year's data, 76% of the emissions were lost in 1 week during these events, and they were all early in the season, so there's that critical time when the fertiliser's down and it's potential to be lost. Once again, across the two sites, two different soil types, running the DMPP again. Yes, we see a reduction in nitrous oxide emissions, so it works really well there. But once again, we're only seeing a marginal increase in the oxisol and in nothing in the vertisol. So even though we're saving the nitrogen, as far as, you know, nitrous oxide doesn't really matter, it's only a couple of kilograms, but potentially for total denitrification, it's not appearing in the yields. So obviously we have to go back and we have to look at maybe what our application rates should be. So the next year, 14-15, we went and put in a yield, an N rate by inhibitor trial. So we had a zero and we had three nitrogen rates, 80 kilograms, 120 kilograms and 160 kilograms of nitrogen applied up front as urea with and without that this commercial product, DMPP coated urea. We monitored this over 12 months with 24 automated chambers. Average rainfall for the season was 511 millimetres. Once again, just looking at the zero nitrogen, fertilisers applied here, everything happens at the beginning, nothing happens for the rest of the year. But if we look at the different rates and we compare the urea versus the DMPP, once again we can see a clear reduction at the higher rates, but it is only at the higher rates. So really, are we just saving this excess nitrogen that wouldn't have been taken up anyway? And by the time you get down here where you know, the crop's quite hungry for nitrogen, it's actually not saving too much nitrogen. If we look at then total emissions, annual emissions, so our losses are going from anywhere from 300 odd grams per year up to just over 3 kilograms in a nice McSweeney type curve, exponential curve for N2O emissions. With the standard urea, and interestingly, with the inhibitor, once again, it's just increasing linearly. So we're still getting an increase in losses, even with the inhibitor, but very different dynamics to using the urea. And then if you look at the emission factors, basically, emission factors are increasing linearly with as the urea, but are pretty much flat. So as your fertilizer rate goes up, your emissions don't change proportionally. So once again, we can demonstrate, yes, inhibitors work. They're very, very effective at reducing nitrous oxide, but the key thing is, how do they go with yields? And in this one, once again, even though we're saving nitrogen, it's not showing up in the yields, even at the lower rates. So our yields are increasing, so nitrogen is important, but we're not seeing that saving come across into the yields. So there's obviously something else going on there. You know, basically, we're not quite sure what's going on, but as we go from a zero, you know, nitrogen is important. Even going from, you know, sort of 80 to 120, 160, we're still increasing our total yields. N2O intensity is a measure of, you know, greenhouse gases per unit of yields. Once again, the DMPP makes a big difference versus the urea, which increases fourfold over the nitrogen rates. But this is the key one, where we sort of come along and summarise the yields. If we look at where we can get our 90% of our optimal yields, for the straight urea, which is this one, so over the four seasons that we ran this, we're looking to get a saving of 10 kilograms at a price of $25, $250 extra a tonne, which is when we did these calculations for that DMPP product. You're looking at losing $18 a hectare. In the Vertisol year one, in the Oxisol year one, there was actually a slight profit because we could actually save it by 25 kilograms per hectare. But once again, Vertisol year two, quite a big loss, $20 a hectare. And year three, $34 gain per hectare. So obviously, it changes year for year, depending on how big those denitrification events are. It also is going to change quite a lot depending on urea prices. At the time we did this study, urea prices were a bit higher than they are now, so that these dollars might have changed. So the moral of the story is there is potential there, but it's just not so simple as that, like everything, I suppose. So just a few conclusions. So there's clear differences in soil type, total in recovery, agronomic efficiency, lower crop recoveries in the Vertisols, but also higher N2O losses. But these lower recoveries did not associate with the N2O losses, so there's something else going on there. And potentially, even though we're stopping with the inhibitor, we're stopping N2O being lost, maybe we're actually just converting that to N2 because we have high nitrate concentrations in the dormant urea. N2O has lost more in higher nitrate concentrations. So by lowering the nitrate concentrations in the DMPP, we might not be actually be saving total denitrification, it's just actually getting losses N2 instead of N2O. And so we've got a really good, better handle on what's going on with N2 to solve this issue and once again try and increase yields for the growers in this region. So as I said, that was a bit of a rush run through, and basically there's three papers going to be coming out associated with this in the next special issue of Soil Research. And special thanks to all our technical staff.